The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Lawmakers in both houses in Washington, D.C. have passed farm bill legislation, and representatives from each chamber are meeting in conference starting this week to hammer out a bill they can agree on. Will that include SNAP benefits? Will it keep agricultural subsidies as they are now? Christopher Basso is a professor of public policy at Northeastern University in Boston. His latest book is Framing the Farm Bill, Interest, Ideology, and the Agricultural Act of 2014. Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, it's good to be back.
So the deadline to pass the farm bill is at the beginning of the month. That is September 30th. What are the major sticking points here?
Well, the major sticking points, I mean, obviously SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is probably the greatest sticking point between the two versions. I mean, the House version is much stricter on imposing new work requirements and other restrictions, which, you know, Democrats pretty much strongly oppose. And the Senate version makes very modest changes in SNAP. So there's very big differences between the two chambers on SNAP, probably also on conservation programs. The House bill eliminates one of the major conservation programs, merges it with something else and with some other programs. And a lot of members of the Senate oppose those changes, as do a lot of conservationists and others.
So what are these conservation part that the House bill is going to eliminate? What does it do?
Well, you know, the conservation programs in the Farm Bill usually are another means of production management. We're going to pay farmers not to farm on ecologically sensitive lands, mm-hmm. usually. It's really taking land out of production. And when commodity prices are high, farmers, you know, you got to pay people not to actually, you know, maximize their land. Now, it's less of a problem when commodity prices are low, which is right now, because farmers are not inclined to, farm those lands. But nonetheless, these conservation programs are ways of keeping certain lands out of production because they're ecologically sensitive. Critics on all sides, you know, a lot of environmentalists criticize these programs as sort of buying off farmers to not do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the programs are seen as important for at least keeping some lands out of production, especially those that are most ecologically sensitive, and also perhaps compensating or remediating problems like large concentrated animal feeding operation side effects, such as manure ponds, that kind of stuff.
So is passing the farm bill typically this controversial?
It's always hard. You have a lot of balancing of interests always. And if you go back in history, it's always been sort of, these things have always been difficult to some extent. But in the old days, it was simply a bunch of commodity interests from various parts of the country sitting down at a table finally and saying, all right, what do you need? You know, what does cotton need? What does sugar need? What does corn need? What does, soybeans need, et cetera? And at the end of the day, giving everybody a little bit of something and then stapling the final result and then sort of passing it. It was more bipartisan in the old days because, to be blunt, there were actually rural conservative Democrats. Mm-hmm. There were rural Democrats in the old days, in the House in particular. That's no longer the case. And so you have the partisanship of it. It reflects the nature of how, the two parties have evolved. I mean, the Republican Party has become primarily the party of the House of Representatives. It's a primarily more suburban, exurban party, not rural, but suburban and exurban. Democrats have become really an urban party, especially in the metropolitan areas. And so they're very different in terms of their interests. And so you have more of an ideological component now, as opposed to just, sorting out different commodity issues. You have other issues that have come in for reasons that go back in history. I mean, SNAP, the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
SNAP was put in the farm bill back when it was called food stamps, back in the early 70s, was put in the farm bill by rural representatives precisely to make sure that urban representatives voted for the farm bill. Because otherwise, over time, as the number of House of Representatives members who are from farming areas has declined dramatically. There's only about maybe less than three dozen House members now who you can say are from farming areas. And most of them are Republicans now. But nonetheless, so as time has gone on, as America's population shift has gone to sort of suburban, exurban areas, you needed something for those folks to vote for.
Okay, so my question is, don't we still need people to vote for those bills who represent urban areas? And isn't taking SNAP out going to make it that they won't vote for the farm bill?
Well, that's the biggest fear, that the people who still represent farming areas fear that if you take food stamps SNAP out of the farm bill, it gives urban legislators no incentive whatsoever to support the farm bill, especially the commodity programs. That, you know, there's a lot of criticism of the big commodity programs, mm-hmm. again, soy, corn, sugar, cotton, those kind of things.
These are subsidies for specific agricultural industries.
There's some of them are direct. Most of them are insurance based these days. Okay. We very rarely anymore have direct subsidies, although there are some now. Obviously, with the trade issues, and
right.
there are some, and there are certainly buyouts of surplus commodities. Obviously things like dairy and cranberries are talking about now. So there always have been sort of buyouts, or at least ways of, but that's a smaller part than it was
right.
a decade
so
ago.
Right now, if we miss this deadline because we are arguing about SNAP, what's going to happen to the farm bill?
Well, actually, for most of the major commodity programs, the effects of not meeting the September 30th renewal are relatively modest. I mean, everybody has in reality, the parts that are permanent part of the farm bill, the big commodity programs, a lot of them, if this goes on, there's no sort of temporary renewal or no continuing resolution. If this truly collapses, then in a few months, the great scare stories is that, of course, the commodity programs revert back to some ancient rules that you go back to the New Deal, and prices for certain commodities will skyrocket. Usually, they always apply to dairy. The more important part is that for a lot of smaller programs that actually urban voters care about most, a lot of things like supporting farmers' markets, organics, research, all those kinds of relatively new things that have put in the farm over the last 20 years, those do elapse. They don't have funding. They don't have authorization. So they would, in fact, if this drags on for a while, into next year, those programs would be frozen.
Interesting.
Unless Congress passes some kind of continuing resolution to, again, appropriations. Now, ironically, SNAP would not expire because SNAP is authorized under a separate legislation, the Food Stamp Act of 1964. It's an entitlement program. So SNAP would continue. So in some ways, in a perverse way, the folks who support SNAP have no incentive to really deal with this until the folks who are, they get what they want.
Is this just a way of funding SNAP then?
Because what you do in the farm bill is you're actually changing some of the rules about SNAP recipients, work rules and other things. But you really can't get rid of the SNAP program itself in the farm bill. You have to change the actual authorizing legislation, and that's the Food Stamp Act.
And as I understand it, one of the issues is that President Trump and other Republicans want stricter work requirements
right.
for people who get SNAP.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So where do you think that's going to go?
I suspect, I'd be the last person to bet what this Congress is going to do, but there's a lot of pressure on these folks to get it done because you have low commodity prices, you have an election year. So I think I think what's going to happen is they'll toss in some pilot projects or some sort of continuing expanded on some modest work rule expansions, nothing like the House bill. You might get some additional pilot projects, you might get some some other things that they'll put in as essentially a modest toss a bone, if you will, to the House version, but not anywhere close to what the House wants. Now, whether that's going to be enough to get the most conservative Republicans in the House to vote for it is anybody's guess. But the Senate is not going to pass a version of the farm bill that looks anything like the House version. So that's just the reality.
We have been talking to Chris Basso. He's a professor of public policy at Northeastern University in Boston, and he joined us to talk about the Farm Bill, which is now making its way through conference committees in Congress between the Senate and the House. Chris, thank you for being with us.
It was fun, as always. I'd like to do it again sometime.
And we'll talk to you later. Coming up next, are Wisconsin school kids required to take civics? I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.